Hi, everybody. You've got our Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. I am Hub Arkish, the editor and general manager at PFW, and I am joined by Bob Laguerre, our Chicago Bears beat reporter and senior NFL analyst. We're coming to you live from the NFL Scouting Combine. Actually, we're live as we record it. Whenever you hear it, it's not going to be live anymore. But we are here in Indianapolis at the annual meat market. I hate to put it that way, but that really is how it feels sometimes. And Bob, over 300 college football players here being poked, prodded, measured, weighed, asked to work out. And it's been a very interesting week so far. Also, the rumor mill grinds away as you've got the NFL media from all over the country here. So interesting week in the Chicago Bears. Both Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy took time out to visit with us and have been very present here this week.
Yeah, we got a little bit of information from both those guys. I think maybe a little more from Coach Nagy, but the rumors are rampant. We hear one day Bears are looking for interior lineman Quentin Nelson, maybe. Next day it's wide receiver, possibly Calvin Ridley from Alabama. And we all know they need an edge rusher, and they have to take one anywhere with Leonard Floyd right now, and basically nobody else with losses to cuts and to guys who will be unrestricted free agents on March 14th.
You know, the Bears in an interesting dilemma this year as they head into the draft and free agency, Bob, more relative to the draft than free agency. I don't think it's a big mystery that the Bears have huge needs at wide receiver and now have, I think, a very serious need at the edge rusher spot with not only Pernell McPhee but Willie Young released in the last week or so. We were told by Ryan Pace that Leonard Floyd is doing great in his rehab, but let's be honest, after two seasons in which he missed significant time, there's promise there. There's been some exciting flashes, but you don't really know what you have. And Pace actually talked about getting significant pass rush from Floyd and Akeem Hicks, and while Hicks has done that the last couple of years, you can't really count on a significant number of sacks from an interior pass rusher. So again, huge needs at wide receiver, at edge rusher, and they created a need on the interior of the offensive line by releasing Josh Sitton. And here's where it gets tricky. Normally, you don't want to be drafting offensive guards or centers in the top 10. As much as you'd be happy to draft a wide receiver in the top 10 if it was the right guy, A, you've got the hangover of the Kevin White pick, and B, Calvin Ridley's not that good. He's probably the best wide receiver in this draft, but I don't think anybody would make him a top 10 pick. And then, you know, you even move beyond that, and you look at the edge rushers. Bradley Chubb is certainly that guy. He's going to be gone before the Bears get to number 8, and after him, there's no clear choice. So while they've got these three great needs they'd love to plug with that first-round pick, it's going to be very difficult to do if they want to get value, unless maybe they can trade down into the middle of the first round. Certainly there are other great football players. There's going to be a very good football player at number 8, but it's likely to be somebody who's not in one of the Bears' greatest areas of need.
Well, I think there's a chance that Tremaine Edmonds could be there at number 8, and that might be drafting him too high, because I don't know if he deserves to be the number 8 pick. He's only 19 years old. He's a guy who in 2 or 3 years could be a monster. I don't know that he's going to give you a lot of help right now, especially at edge rusher. Analysts have said that he can play any linebacker position in any scheme, and I believe that. I think he's got the physical characteristics to do that, but is he going to come in and give you 10 sacks or 8 sacks as a rookie? I doubt it. The one good thing about Leonard Floyd doing well in his rehab, he's had a lot of experience rehabbing injuries. If you can keep him healthy for 16 games, you've got something, but you've just got the start of a pass rush. You can't rely on Akeem Hicks to get 8 sacks every year. You need somebody else. And the other thing we haven't mentioned is, aside from Sam Acho and Lamar Houston being unrestricted, so is Christian Jones. Not a guy you think of as a pass rusher, but has played a lot of roles for the Bears over the years and can bring you a little bit of pass rush pressure. I think he had 2 or 3 sacks last year. So, that's a definite need. I think Calvin Ridley would be way too high at number 8 as well. I think most people agree he's the best wide receiver in this group, but the strength of this wide receiver class, from what most people have told us, is in rounds 2, 3, maybe even early in round 4.
You know, you mentioned Tremaine Edmonds, and it's a very interesting name to pair up with the Chicago Bears. He's a lot like Leonard Floyd coming out of Georgia in that he's a monster of an athlete. He looks the part. He can be an outstanding inside or outside linebacker. He has not been an edge rusher in North Carolina. You don't know that he can rush the passer. There have been some great athletes, great traits guys. Bears fans certainly remember John Theory, Alonzo Spellman. These guys were supposed to be killer pass rushers, never figured out how to do it. And so, you know, Floyd, I think a lot of people felt was somewhere between 6 and 12. You know, he fit when the Bears took him at, I believe it was, what, number 9? But you look at Tremaine Edmonds at number 8, that would be strictly a traits pick. It's very difficult to do, but what Ryan Pace has been making a living on is taking traits guys in the first round and then going back for more accomplished and productive players in the later rounds. So Edmonds would not be a big surprise there, but it would be a little bit of a reach. And you would think in year 4, knowing the number of areas that Pace has to fill to make this team competitive, he might want to take some safer picks than taking another reach like that in the first round.
Well, I think the fact that they let Josh Sitton go, didn't pick up his $8 million option, would lead you to believe they're confident that Kyle Long is going to be 100% healthy this year. And I don't know that anybody agrees with that. I think that's a huge question mark. I think we've seen Kyle Long start to break down in the past couple of years. There's no reason to think he can't get back to full health and stay there. He's not old. He's 29 years old. But I think, you know, another guy that the Bears have been rumored to be interested in is Quentin Nelson. I think he'd be a great pick at number 8. I don't think he's going to be there.
I don't think he's going to be there, and I have another issue with that, Bob, only in that there are some people who think that he is such a great football player, he could project out to left tackle. I think that would be outstanding for the Bears because I don't think that Charles Leno is good enough, and I think they need to get better there. But the other issue is that with Matt Nagy's offense, if you take a look at the offensive line in Kansas City, they look for a different type of lineman. They want more athletic, finesse-type guys, and Quentin Nelson is not that guy. As a matter of fact, it may very well be that that's why they decided to release Josh Sitton. So I know, you know, with the release of Sitton and with Harry Hiestand, who was, of course, former Bears offensive line coach, now has returned to coach the offensive line again and was Quentin Nelson's coach at Notre Dame, you know, people are trying to connect the dots and make him a Bear. I'm not sure how good a fit that's going to be. You know, when you look at the draft, you take a step back and take more of a 20,000-foot view. The good news, because there's always good news with the draft. It's always, oh, you know, hope springs eternal, and everybody's got picks, and the Bears have got a top 10 pick. The good news is that there's really only three positions we can say with certainty the Bears won't draft in the first round. They're obviously not going to draft a quarterback. They're not going to draft a running back. Well, I think they need help at tight end. They're not going to take a tight end at number 8 after reaching way too high for Adam Shaheen in the second round last year. Anywhere else, they could take a player, and you could say, well, it wasn't their greatest need, but still, you got a really good football player. I mean, if they thought that Quentin Nelson was going to play left tackle, or they liked Orlando Brown or Connor Williams, and they took one of them at number 8 and said, that's our left tackle, I'd be fine with that. You know, I don't see them drafting an interior defensive lineman, but this kid Vita Vea is climbing up a lot of people's lists. He would be a really interesting fit again at number 8. I wouldn't have a huge problem if they did it. You know, certainly a safety, a cornerback, you know, there are going to be players that fit at number 8 that the Bears could take. It just might not go to their greatest need.
Well, that's a good thing, I guess, about being a perennial double-digit loss team is you've got a lot of needs and you truly can take the best player available. Vita Vea would be a monster on that offensive line. That would clearly be a strength of the team if they added him to Eddie Golden and Akeem Hicks, and I think that's an area they need a little more depth in. You know, it all starts up front, as coaches are prone to tell you, and that would be a great pick. I saw him earlier in the process as maybe a late first-rounder, but he has been shooting up a lot of draft boards to where I don't think he's a stretch at number 8.
Well, and here's the other thing we got to keep in mind, Bob, is that the Bears aren't going to set their draft board or try to start to make any kind of decisions until they see what they do in free agency. And free agency is going to come a lot sooner. You've got the legal dating period, I guess you would call it, March 12th to March 14th. And then in mid-March, they will start signing players. You know, much like the Bears in releasing guys like Sitton and McPhee, and Willie Young, the free agency list has been growing rapidly this week. There are players being released by other teams who could be of interest to the Chicago Bears. You know, we've been watching the free agent wide receivers for some time. Unless I missed it, the Jacksonville Jaguars have not put a franchise tag on Allen Robinson yet. That's a player that could interest the Bears. You know, we now pick up stories everywhere that the Seattle Seahawks are trying to trade Michael Bennett. I don't see Michael Bennett as a guy that Ryan Pace would bring into his locker locker room, but you're talking about a three-time Pro Bowl player who could be available. On that same team, you've got Sylvester Richardson, who, of course, was a Pro Bowler with the Jets as a five technique. Imagine Sylvester Richardson, if he wanted to play, on the other side of Akiem Hicks with Eddie Goldman in the middle, or even better yet, Muhammad Wilkerson, who the Jets now, the problem there is that the Jets paid him last year and he disappeared after being a great player. But there's some big-time talent out there. Kenny Vaccaro is a safety who the New Orleans Saints are probably going to be unable to sign. So I know that people get a little gun-shy with Ryan Pace and free agency, the idea that he has not done nearly as well there as he possibly has in the draft. I personally think that that his failures are a bit overrated there and he gets too hard a time. They've done a really nice job of not tying themselves to any salary cap strangling contracts. And while he has, missed wildly on some of his signings, Antrell Roll, Quentin Demps, Mike Glennon, just to name a few, he's also made some nice acquisitions. I mean, people forget Akiem Hicks was a bit of an unknown signing when he made it. Danny Trevathan, I think if he stays healthy, is going to prove to be a steal, for what they brought him at. Bobby Massey has been better at right tackle than people give him. He's not great, but I mean, he's filled that spot. So, I think where really the focus has to be for now, even though we're at the combine, is what the Bears get done in free agency before we can start to narrow down and focus in on what they're going to do in the draft.
Yeah, I'm in the camp that is not enthused at all by what Ryan Pace has done in free agency. Specifically, Muhammad Wilkerson, talking about him, I think that would be a huge mistake. He's a guy who got paid and mailed it in almost from day one. Sheldon Richardson would be a great pick. That's a great pickup. That's going to be very expensive. I think if you look at the wide receivers, Allen Robinson, huge upgrade. Sammy Watkins, I don't know that he gives you a whole lot more than you've got with Cam Meredith. And hopefully at some point, maybe down the line, Kevin White. But I think wide receivers are an area you got to look at to get help in free agency and in the draft.
Well, and here's another piece of it is that you can very well approach the free agent group of wide receivers and say, let's fix number three and number four. We're still looking for number one in the draft, whether that turns out to be Kevin White. Let's not forget that last year the best wide receiver in the draft was the fifth one off the board in Juju Smith-Schuster. And there are guys like that again this year. Antonio Brown was a sixth-round pick originally coming out of Central Michigan. So you can find a number one wide receiver without doing it with a top 10 pick. The interesting thing about free agency this year is that, normally we look at drafts and free agency and we say, where is the strength? There's no real strength in free agency. It's just not a compelling group this year. There's not a position where you can say, hey, there's a bunch of guys, we can go get one. If the Bears actually did want to address the left tackle position, you've got Nate Solder out there who's most likely either going to stay in New England or maybe even retire, he's talked about. You're not going to get a left tackle in free agency that you can get excited about. The big-time pass rusher, Ziggy Ansah, was franchised by the Lions. DeMarcus Lawrence will be franchised by the Cowboys if they don't get a deal done first. So there's a couple interesting names. Junior Gallette, a former New Orleans Saint, who Ryan Pace knows very well, who's had injuries the last couple of years, is a free agent. If you could get a clean medical on him, you could get him in a reasonable, possibly even one-year prove-it deal or shorter-term deal. Alex Okafor is another guy. He's only 26 years old. He was having a big year in New Orleans as an outside edge rusher, linebacker, before he got hurt last year. So it may very well be that because of the uncertainty, Bradley Chubb gone when they draft, the uncertainty about the rest of these guys at eight, that may be where they attack the edge rush position in free agency, and that could be their main priority going into it, because at least there's some options there that could be Akiem Hicks-type signings.
Yeah, I think the pickings are pretty slim at almost every position in free agency. And the problem, if you're upgrading the wide receiver position, is that the last 3 years have shown us that most teams do not help themselves by taking a wide receiver in round one. There have been 13 taken in the last 3 years. The only 1,000-yard season produced has been Amari Cooper. He's done it twice. And he had a bad year last year. The three first-round picks last year had Kevin White-type production. Most of those guys did nothing, starting with Corey Davis, who I think is going to be a very good player but struggled last year with injuries and whatnot. So that's why I think you have to look to free agency. And to me, Allen Robinson is the number one guy that I would address if I was the Bears in free agency. I think that lessens the pressure on you to add a difference maker at wide receiver in the first round. That way you can go second round, third round, fourth round, and maybe pick up a guy, a wide receiver you can develop down the road.
You've got our Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. You can also get the Pro Football Weekly NFL podcast by going to iTunes. You can subscribe if you want, get it automatically every week. Also, if you'd like to write us a review, we certainly would appreciate that. And we're talking to you this week from the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, and we'll be back at the Pro Football Weekly offices in Chicago next week, and in the coming weeks we will continue pretty much 52 weeks a year. We may give Laguerre a week off here and there, but for the most part, you can get a new podcast every week, so please stay with us and follow us on Twitter as well, and at ProFootballWeekly.com, of course. You know, Bob, we mentioned at the top of our visit here with Bears fans that we did get to spend some time with both Ryan Pace and then Matt Nagy individually, not collectively, which is always nice, because during the Ryan Pace, John Fox regime, you almost never got the two of them separately. If you got one, you got the other, and I do prefer to visit with them individually. Ryan was very Ryan Pace-ish, and I don't say that negatively or positively. I like Ryan. I think he's a good guy. I think he's trying to do the best he can, and I think he's got a good plan, and I think, you know, we really need to give him this year before we form any final conclusions. Normally you want 2-3 years, but took over such a mess, and now having to hire a new coach, I don't think he gets a fresh start, but I want to give him one more year and look at this roster as they start the season, at least to form some strong conclusions about the overall job that he's done. But we've gotten to know Ryan fairly well. This was just the second time since he was hired that we've been able to spend time with Matt Nagy. And my observation was that while he was, you know, outgoing, confident, aggressive in his introductory press conferences, which is the only time we really got to spend time with him, he seemed much more settled here in the job to me a month and a half later, and seemed pretty confident that he's got a plan. I know he's very happy with his coaching staff. That staff has gotten good reviews so far. And one of the things that I think we've already learned is that while you're never going to get the state secrets from any of these guys, Matt Nagy appears to be ready to be a little more forthcoming in answering questions than some of the frustration that Bears fans had trying to learn anything from John Fox the last few years.
Yeah, Matt Nagy, a wealth of information compared to John Fox, and I think we all saw it on the day he met the media right after he was hired, his enthusiasm. And you wonder if, you know, everybody's enthusiastic their first day on the job. But I think that's been a trademark of his, and you see it every time you see him on TV or you talk to him in person. And we've all talked to people here at the Combine, coaches and players, who say, that's Matt Nagy. He's an enthusiastic guy. That's how he's going to be. He's a straight shooter. He'll tell it like it is. And, you know, I think Ryan Pace is going to do a good job this year, as he did last year, in helping the team with his draft. I'm very high on Ryan Pace's drafts. I wasn't on last year's. Looking on the face of it, it seemed like it was a draft clearly for the future that would bring no help in year one, and it did. Mitch Trubisky showed that he could be the franchise quarterback. The jury's still out on that. I'm not gung-ho on him like Ryan Pace is, but Tariq Cohen came in and was a major contributor. Adam Shaheen, as we discussed, a little bit disappointing for a second-round pick, but still the arrow's pointing up on him.
Yeah, you kind of anticipated my next topic there a little bit. After visiting with Ryan on Wednesday, and Nagy too, but this more coming from Ryan, I wrote about this. If folks want to read it, please go to ProFootballWeekly.com for Wednesday from the Combine. I was pleasantly surprised by Mitch Trubisky last year. I was neither a supporter or a doubter going into the draft, because with 13 game tapes to do to look at, we didn't know enough, you know. And I think one of the troubling things about taking him top five, period, but then moving up from 3 to 2 and paying extra to get him was the unknown. You know, it was the uncertainty. Now that we've got 12 starts under our belt, I think he's exciting. There's no question about that. I think he is every bit the athlete they said he was. He appears to have a real big arm, and we got to visit with him at least once a week throughout the season. I don't know if he's a good kid or a bad kid. He's not a bad kid. I don't know if he's a good kid. I do know this. He's competitive. He gets a little prickly when he talks about working about the game. All the things you want in your starting quarterback. All that said, to listen to Ryan Pace, you'd think he was getting ready to compete for his fourth or fifth Pro Bowl. I mean, you know, they talk about this like, well, now that we're set at the quarterback position, and that does trouble me a little bit, because when you look at the history of these guys and the way this pans out, Certainly the Indianapolis Colts thought that they were set at the quarterback position, and the world believed they had the next Peyton Manning until 2 years ago. Now Andrew Luck has only played about six or seven games in the last 2 years. You look at Jameis Winston at the end of year three, who was a much better prospect coming out of school than a Mitch Trubisky, and the Bucs have no idea what they have. Ryan Tannehill, 6 years later, was described as a rookie very similar to Mitch Trubisky, an athlete, a big arm, guy who's got to learn the game. He's 37 and 40. Now, he was drafted a little bit later in the draft, but, you know, let's come back up with some of the high picks. Marcus Mariota came on late in the year last year, but after 3 years, Titans aren't positive what they have there. So, again, I'm excited about Trubisky, but I worry a little bit that the Bears act like, well, we're set at the quarterback position. Now all we got to do is get a few more players and we're ready to contend.
Well, there are still people out there, Hub, who will tell you that Ryan Pace got fleeced by the 49ers and what they gave up to move up one spot. But if Mitch Trubisky is their franchise quarterback for the next 8 years, it makes Ryan Pace a tremendous drafter, and it makes the 2017 draft class outstanding, because that's the biggest question out there. The biggest thing you have to address is finding the quarterback, especially in today's NFL. If Mitch Trubisky pans out, it was a great draft, and Ryan Pace did a great job. If he doesn't pan out, if he bombs, then Ryan Pace won't be here much longer.
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of those people, and not only was I frustrated at the time because I had done a lot of research going into that draft, but I worked really hard the week or 2 weeks after the draft to talk to every other team that I could. And I would tell you it's something just short of a fact, because you can't make this a fact, but as close as you can get, he didn't have to make the trade. You know, forget whether he got fleeced or not. Mitch Trubisky was going to be there at number three. And as much as people want to give him a pass if he's a great quarterback, I don't give him a pass, because even this year you don't have your third-round pick because of what you did last year. Now, you know, they've gone out. They've gotten some other picks. That's all well and good. I think at the end of the day, you're right. I mean, if he proves to be a Pro Bowl quarterback, nobody's going to be talking 3 or 4 years from now about what you gave up to get him. And you didn't give up nearly what the Rams gave up to get Jared Goff, you know, what the Redskins gave up to you know, bust on Robert Griffin III. So, you know, it's not the end of the world. But really, just in terms of analyzing the football team, that's what I kind of keep my eye on. And he's going to have a much more Mitch Trubisky-friendly offense in what Matt Nagy and Mark Helfrich and Dave Ragone are going to do. I mean, we never really even knew if they had a scheme under Dowell Loggins, and the scheme that they had was designed before they got him, so it wasn't necessarily to play to his strengths. So they have that working for him. But the other thing that we've talked to him a little bit about is that they don't have – well, they're going to release Mike Glennon, and Mark Sanchez was on a one-year deal last year, so they don't have a backup right now for Mitch Trubisky, and they were a little vague about what their plans are there.
Yeah, I think they like what Mark Sanchez did for Mitch Trubisky last year. I think he's a great sounding board, a great mentor, a great guy to have on the sideline during games and in that quarterback room. Ryan Pace told us he has talked with Mark Sanchez, and Mark Sanchez has expressed interest in coming back. I think that's a slam dunk if you can get him. I think he made $2 million last year. He's not going to play. You don't want him to play, but I think he's worthwhile having around. And the misconception I think people have, and I do as well because he hasn't played very much, is thinking that Mark Sanchez is a decrepit old man. He's 31 years old. He might still be able to play. We don't know because he hasn't played much in the past couple of years, but I think they need to bring in a guy who more fits that scheme. I don't think Mark Sanchez is the guy you want running RPO plays, and, you know, I think you mentioned maybe last week, Tyrod Taylor would be an excellent guy. I don't think he's going to get a starter's money from anybody. If you can get him as a top backup for that kind of money, then he's a guy they might want to think about.
Well, not only would he be interesting because he is the exact same style quarterback as Mitch Trubisky, although doesn't have as good an arm, you could even have a package of plays for him, and you could use him with Trubisky at times. You know, it might be 3 or 4 or 10 snaps a game. You could do something like that. Listen, I think Mark Sanchez probably can still play, and I think he gets a bad rap, but you just nailed it. It's not that you don't want him running RPOs. He can't. That's not the way he plays the game. And that is going to be a huge part of what this offense is built around. Eagles just won a Super Bowl with it, and Trubisky is probably better suited to do it than Carson Wentz. I don't know that he's ever going to be as effective a passer of the football as Carson Wentz, but he's going to be a better mobile quarterback in terms of moving around behind the line of scrimmage and coming up the field. So that's where my take on – Mark Sanchez has always been, that he was more life coach than backup quarterback. I think he's here to mentor Trubisky, and I think that's fine. Your backup quarterback has to be a guy who, if he has to go out and start 3, 4, or 5 games, you feel good and you don't have to change your offense. You don't have that with him as number two. I think he can be a number three, and he can be a nice stopgap. The other thing is, we have to go back, and we're going to wrap this in just a minute or two, but when Ryan Pace got here, he said his philosophy is draft a quarterback every year. And then the first two drafts, he didn't draft a quarterback. Well, now that he's drafted one last year, I'd like to see them look in the 5th or 6th round at some of these kids coming out of school, because I firmly believe in this quarterback draft class that the best of this group are going to be the guys that are currently ranked somewhere between 6 and 8, 6 and 9. I don't like any of these kids at the top of this list. Now, you know, Baker Mayfield would be a nice fit, but you're not going to do that when you have Mitch Trubisky. So it may very well be that the answer is to bring back the veteran, Mark Sanchez, to be the anchor in the room, but also to draft a quarterback in the 6th or 7th round who, you know, God forbid, if Trubisky went down, might be better suited to run this offense than Mark Sanchez is.
Yeah, I think a guy that some people have mentioned is Kyle Aletta, I believe, from Richmond, who's one of the guys you talked about, 6, 7, 8, 9. There are people that have him rated higher. Some people have him rated above Josh Allen. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but he's a guy they might want to look at later in the draft as bringing in, unless they can find a Tyrod Taylor type guy. But they have to have somebody other than Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez, as you said, can step in and play, finish a game for you. He's probably not the guy you want starting 3 or 4 games in a row, though.
Yeah, the other kid I really like is Falk from Washington State, but I don't think he's going to – my guess is he goes somewhere, you know, 4th round, maybe high 5th. That may be a little too high for the Bears to be drafting a number 3 quarterback. So, at any rate, it has been a fascinating week here in Indianapolis. We've gotten to visit with most of the offensive players on the draft. We at Pro Football Weekly can't stay in Indianapolis for a full week. It's just too much. So we're going to miss some of the defensive kids. For those of you who weren't aware, if you have the NFL Network, you can watch a lot of the workouts there. It's not my job to be here shilling for the NFL Network, but it is a good way to get to see some of these kids. We will have the results of in-depth interviews with every one of these 300 prospects, which you're going to be reading stories and analysis here at ProFootballWeekly.com or at ProFootballWeekly.com if you acquired this podcast elsewhere, 24/7. So for Bob Laguerre, I am Hub Arkish. We're going to wrap the week in Indy, but we're going to keep giving you the results and the information nonstop between now and the draft. So again, go to iTunes to subscribe to our podcast. Feel free to write a review. Make sure you get the Pro Football Weekly podcast, the national version with Arthur Arkish and Eric Edholm. And Bob and I will be back with you next week on Pro Football Weekly Chicago. Thank you very much for listening.